Well, good morning, brothers, sisters and young people. We come here this morning, as we do week by week, as part of Christ's flock. And we know that we here aren't the only ones that are part of that great flock, but he has many of his sheep meeting throughout this city, this country and the entire world. And we all meet to remember him and the great things he has done for us, so that we may be able to hear his voice as we strive to follow him together. We also come to support and encourage each other and to be fed spiritually so we can have strength to walk through whatever circumstances of life we find ourselves in. And we also come to thank and praise our Heavenly Father, whom we recognise as providing all this for us. Brother Kent has chosen this morning a theme of He Had Compassion. And as an introduction, we're going to take a reading from Mark chapter 6 and verses 30 to 44. So now I invite our brother Kent to prepare our minds for the emblems and encourage us for the week ahead to the theme, He Had Compassion.
Thanks very much, Sebastian, and good morning, everybody. I want to begin with an apology first and also some thanks. The apology is that you're hearing another exhortation on compassion. And you will recall, of course, that Brother Jeff gave us an exhortation a fortnight ago on compassion. And so some of you are probably saying, couldn't you have found a different topic to pick? And I guess the answer is I probably could have. But here's where I want to thank Brother Jeff. And in fact, what I want to do is I want to build on the foundation that Brother Jeff provided us a fortnight ago. Because I think the subject of compassion is a compelling subject. It's a most important subject for us in 2020. This has been unprecedented times. We've seen panic buying, we've seen frustration, we've seen rudeness, we've had Black Lives Matter protests, we've had people refusing to wear masks. In fact, it's been a scenario in 2020 where in many quarters there has been a distinct lack of compassion. And the reason for that is that people generally tend to focus about themselves. If you think about it, we tend to think about ourselves first. But you know what? Even in our reading today, you would have picked up the fact that Jesus didn't think about himself first. Jesus thought about others. And even in the reading that we've just had, there was no leisure time for even Jesus to eat. But what does Jesus do? Jesus sets the example for us. And he provides for others first. You see, Christ cared deeply and compassionately about those that were around about him. He was moved with compassion. I think it's easy for us to look up a definition of compassion, but to look at a definitional aspect of compassion doesn't really convey to us how compassion can be actually part of our daily lives. And so definitions are along the lines of the recognition of sufferings of others and then to take action to help. But it begs the question, first of all, there needs to be the recognition, and that itself can be a challenge. And then, of course, there is the action, and what action do I take, and what are the limitations of the action that I'll provide? But this morning I want to present to us a perspective from Jesus and how Jesus viewed compassion. I want to look at some well-known examples that we have of what Jesus did, and hopefully as we look at these examples, we'll extract from those the lessons. We'll see that Jesus stopped and that Jesus always had time for compassion. You see, compassion is something that we need to embrace. It's easy for us to say, hey, it's not my problem. And you would have picked that up in our reading. What did the disciples say? Look, it's getting late. Send them away. And too often, we can adopt that particular attitude. Send them away. It's not my problem. But you see, Jesus saw things differently. Jesus had compassion. Look, grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey this morning in Matthew chapter 20. And again, look, there's only a handful of examples we can look at this morning. And intentionally what I've tried to do is to pick up examples that we'll be acutely aware of, that we'll understand the scenario, so that even though it might appear that there's a great slab of scripture, and in particular I'm looking at Matthew 20 verses 29 to 34, you know the story. It's the two blind men that cry out to Jesus. And we might just pick up the final sentence of verse 30. Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And again, verse 31, Lord, have mercy on us. Do you know what strikes me when I read this particular little section from verse 29 to 34? And perhaps you're just sort of glancing down, and it's okay if you want to read it whilst I speak. These two men were absolutely convinced in their own mind that Jesus could and that he would open their eyes. They had an absolute conviction that Jesus was able to have mercy. Note that that's what they asked for. Lord, have mercy. What's Jesus' response? We come to verse 34. Jesus' response, Jesus in compassion or pity. It depends on your particular translation. Same Greek word, it's compassion. Jesus had compassion. And so immediately we've got a situation where people are asking for mercy and the Lord demonstrates compassion. And what we find throughout the scriptures, and we don't have enough time this morning to look at it, but there's this great confluence that comes together with mercy and also compassion. They asked for mercy, they were granted compassion. And in a sense, that's the same for us. We appeal for mercy, and it's compassion that is granted to us. Well, what else can we extract from this little section of scripture? Well, did you note the crowd? Jesus is speaking to a whole multitude. And we can be certain that Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God. You know, he wasn't worried about who was winning the Roman Football League of the day. It would have been a conversation that had meaning. The crowd wanted to hear Jesus. So what did they say to these blind individuals? That the crowd rebuked them. They said, look, be quiet. We want to hear Jesus. What was Jesus' response? Well, Jesus' response in verse 32 was to stop. Jesus actually stopped. And he called them. And you've got to sort of wonder to yourself, I'm sure most of us would have said, well, I'm preaching to a whole lot of individuals, just two individuals here on the one side. I can forget about those because there's all these others that are hearing the gospel message. But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus absolutely stopped. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And he asks them. And they, of course, respond. They wanted mercy. They asked for mercy. They received compassion from the Lord. And what do we take from this little scenario? Well, you know what? I think one of the powerful lessons that I certainly take is that it doesn't matter what we are doing in the service of the Lord. There's always time for compassion. Yeah, we can think that we're so busy. I don't have time to do this. Jesus was busy too. Jesus was preaching. But immediately where there was an opportunity to demonstrate compassion, Jesus stopped. And we'll see that again as we look at a couple of other passages. Jesus stopped because compassion is far more important than anything else that we might be doing. Yeah, compassion is right at the very, very top of aspects that the Lord actually requires. Jesus stopped. And hey, we know the story. Jesus demonstrated compassion to them. Hey, a wonderful little introduction, Matthew 20 is. Let's come across to Mark chapter 1. And look, we're just going to be going through, and all I want to do is to just pick out some little points that I see that give us some, I think, a window into how Jesus viewed compassion. So we're going to pick up Mark chapter 1, and again, from verses 40 to 45. Again, you know the story. It's about Jesus cleansing a leper. I just want to share a story with you, if I can. A number of years ago, when I was with UniSA, I made a trip to India to do some student recruitment. And I guess they need student recruitment now, but back at that particular point, we used to get lots and lots of Indian students. And one of the challenges was to find, sort of, if I can say, a Western individual who would go to India, because India has always been one of those challenging locations to go to. Anyway, I decided, free holiday, India, hey, sign me up, I'm there. And I was sort of in this little tuk-tuk. Now, for those who might not know what a tuk-tuk is, it's basically a motorcycle with a little carriage that you sit on the back. It's the poor man's taxi, we might say, that you find right throughout Asia. And so I'm sitting in the back with another female colleague from the university, and we're stopped at a set of lights. And then I see this hand come across. There was a finger that was missing. You could see parts of the flesh that had sort of been dug out. Look, to say it was grotesque is an absolute understatement. And then a face appeared, and there was missing part of an ear. Well, I promptly sat on the lap of my colleague to get away, and of course I had to profusely apologise to her afterwards. I don't know whether it was leprosy or not, but all I can say is when I took one look at it, there was absolutely no way that I was going to touch that individual. The individual wanted money. Well, fortunately, the little tuk-tuk driver happened to sort of shoo said individual away, and when we got to our destination, I gave him 1,000 rupees, which was the equivalent of a month's worth of wages for him, because I had been saved as I saw it. What's the point of that story and what we're going to read with Jesus? Well, let's just have a look at Jesus, how Jesus comes across a leper. And again, we've got the situation where the leper says, if you will, you can do this. And I think this in itself is powerful. This is somebody who's got conviction. Jesus can. Jesus can. And we need to see Jesus in the same light. We need to be approaching Jesus and indeed the Father by extension, that we can have confidence that you can. You can make me clean. You can do this. And whatever we're faced with, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or we can ask. What's the Lord's response? Well, the Lord's response is verse 41. Jesus was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hands, and note these next words, he touched him. So I want you to think about that. What did Jesus... Jesus could have said, and I'm sure we would have done, much the same, you're healed. Easy from a distance to say you're healed. But do you ever stop to think, why did Jesus touch him? Why did Jesus touch him? In a sense, there is compassion that is being delivered to that individual. Think about it. He would never have had human touch for however long he'd had leprosy. And all of a sudden, what does Jesus do? The thing that is lacking for him, Jesus reaches out and he touches him. He reaches out and he touches. Think about the scenario with COVID. You know, you can't go touching. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a big one for these sort of elbow. I'm a bit of a handshaker. I quite enjoy that. I think there's something about that physical contact. And most of us, I'm sure, we crave. You know, we like a hug, we like a handshake. Yep, that's what we like. But what has COVID actually done? COVID's actually put, in a sense, this sort of barrier. You can't do it. But Jesus is sort of, in a sense, for an individual who had never perhaps had touch for years, Jesus gave him what he needed. He could have just healed him, and that would have been enough. But as always, Jesus goes well beyond, and he demonstrates to us, and he raises that bar and says, hey, it's not just about doing this. Jesus always ratchets things up significantly more. And I guess the question is, do we reach out to those in need? Jesus reached out, and that's what compassion is all about. It's reaching out. We can also personalise this story. Because, of course, if we look in the Old Testament, it's quite clear that leprosy, you're the walking dead. Leprosy spoke of the fact that you were inexorably heading to the grave. That's what was going to take place. All of us were lepers until we were baptized into Christ. All of us were lepers. All of us were walking dead. That's what we were faced with. But Jesus has reached out and Jesus has touched us and we've had the compassion of Christ in our lives. And so we need, of course, to understand, and we should understand, the importance of compassion. Well, let's come across to our reading. So we'll look at Mark 6, because again, I think there's some other lessons that we can extract from Mark 6. The feeding of the 5,000. You know, the compassion of our Lord knows no boundaries. And indeed, I think that becomes eminently clear as we look at these sections that we are considering. He goes well beyond scenarios that we would ever contemplate. So we read this particular passage this morning, and again, it's a familiar section. Even from when you've been young, kiddies know all about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Picking up, say, perhaps verse 31, it was a busy point in Jesus' life. He had no leisure. Jesus didn't even have time to eat himself. And we won't go through all of the circumstances, but the parallel records to this are John 6, which we're going to read during the course of this week. It's also Matthew 14. And what had actually taken place is that John the Baptist, if we read the preceding verses, John had been beheaded. That impacted on Christ. 72 individuals had been sent out and they'd gone out and healed and began to preach the gospel. And then they came back. But we might say in verse 31, Jesus was literally had it. Jesus basically sort of said, look, let's jump in the boat and let's go round to the other side. That's really what this particular section of Scripture is all about. And none of us would begrudge the Lord for saying, you know what, I might just sort of go with the disciples and I might just sort of get myself back into a sense of recovery from all of the challenges, all of the dramas, the traumas that I've faced. Well, we know the story. Jesus and the disciples shoot across to the other side. All of the cast of thousands who are following Jesus, they look and they say, well, he's going to be over in point A. And so they go all the way around. Now, I think there'd be a temptation for us to suddenly say, hey, you know what? I'm not popping the shingle out today. Today is a day of leisure, if you wouldn't mind. Come back tomorrow and I'll be more than happy to dispense healing and teaching. Just think about it. All of us from time to time like to have a little bit of R&R. Yeah, we want to sort of take life easy. But what's Jesus' response? Jesus' response when he saw, hey, they've all come from all over, is verse 34. He had compassion on them. Well, why did Jesus have compassion on them? Because he says they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He had compassion because he saw their deepest need. He saw that they needed leadership. They were thirsting for the knowledge of the kingdom of God. They wanted that kingdom. And we know that to be the case because the parallel record, which you'll read this week in John 6, makes it abundantly clear because at the end of John 6, they wanted to make Jesus king. Such was the power of his teaching. Jesus had compassion. But it wasn't just a case that Jesus was just teaching, because Matthew 14, which is the parallel record, actually says he healed their sick. So Jesus was absolutely busy. He's teaching, he's healing. And of course, what transpires is that it starts to get a little bit late. And the disciples' response is, of course, send them away. What are we going to do? It's not our problem. You see, the disciples, as indeed sometimes ourselves, struggle with compassion. Yeah, 2 of the disciples in a couple of chapters hence, They go through a Samaritan village and they say, should we call down fire from heaven? That was their response. You see, the disciples, the same as us, need to understand how compassion works and what's required to be compassionate. So what's the response of our Lord? Well, the Lord says, you give them something to eat. You provide. And again, we know the story that somehow there is 5 loaves and 2 fishes that are provided. But you know, one of the things that I think is so remarkable about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and maybe you've thought of this, maybe you haven't. John's record in John 6 says it's a small boy. Now, I want you to think, I don't think it's conceivable that there was only one person, and it was a small boy, who brought along 5 little dinner rolls and 2 sardines. I can't think that he was the only person that brought something along. But do you know what? He was the individual. And this is sort of that childlike faith that Jesus was to speak about. Children are prepared to share. This young boy, actually, and he had to sort of get the attention of Andrew. Andrew, in John 6, is pretty dismissive and sort of says, oh, look, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. How are they going to feed all of these? This is a disciple who, in today's reading, in John chapter 2, there's been a wedding, and the first of the signs that John actually records is, lo and behold, water into wine. He's witnessed that. And there's another sign that's witnessed. He's witnessed 2 miraculous signs by this point, and Andrew is dismissive of what the Lord can do. The young child, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, that was the solution. Kiddies are like that, and I'm sure those of us who have had children know that kiddies are happy to share. And I've got to say, on a couple of occasions, that when you're speaking to children and you sort of, they'll have that Nutella or Vegemite sandwich and you say, oh, that looks yummy. And what's their automatic response? Well, generally the automatic response is, would you like some? And so you get, you know, they've got Nutella or Vegemite smeared all over their face and all over their hands, and you get sort of a half-eaten quarter of a sandwich that's given to you. Why? Because that's how children respond. That they share. As adults, we would never, ever do that. We'd sort of say, yeah, it is great. You can buy Nutella and away you'd go. But in a sense, I think that gives us some insights. This is how children think. And we need to be like children as well. We need to be sort of sharing, prepared to share. Here's the other element that I think comes out, that with small things, the Lord can work. It doesn't matter what we bring in service to the Lord. It can be something that we might say is minuscule and small. The Lord can work with small. To me, I think that's just a powerful lesson that comes out of Mark 6. Wonderful story. Jesus had compassion. He did what he could because he saw people as people. People in need. And we have to see the same. That people are in need. How can we demonstrate our compassion ourselves? Let's come across to Luke's gospel, and we might pick up from Luke 7. And I'm sure many of you, Luke 7, verse 11 to 17. To me, I read this little section, and I find this one of the most moving sections of Scripture. As to how Jesus responds here. This is just a phenomenal story that I really think gives us an insight into the Lord that we've come to remember here this morning. And I think if you pick up verse 11, and I'm going to read just the opening words from the New King James. The New King James says, now it happened. Hey, things don't just happen when God's involved and when Christ is involved. That's providence at work. All things are working together for good. That's what Paul could tell us in Romans 8. But, hey, Jesus is there. He's in a town of Nain. And it's a funeral. Now, here's the remarkable thing. There is absolutely no indication whatsoever that Jesus knew any of these individuals. It's not a case that it's suddenly some relative or whatever. But what is Jesus' immediate response? Verse 13, when the Lord saw this individual, he had compassion on her. Jesus didn't say, "What do you want me to do?" Here we've got a situation where Jesus just saw and responded. His immediate response was, "Do not weep." I just sort of look at this, and Jesus again, he stops in his track. And here's the thing. His disciples were there with a great crowd. Could easily have said, "Hey, I'm preaching about the kingdom. You know what? People are going to die anyway." But there was something that made the Lord stop. And you know what? Sometimes in our lives, there have to be things that make us stop whatever we are doing. And I tell you what, on the random acts of kindness scale, this is right off the Richter scale as to what Jesus was able to do. The power. He had compassion and he gave the child to his mother. We can speculate as to why Jesus might have done it. But you know what? I take another lesson from this, and it doesn't matter what our standing is in society. Jesus didn't just work with the nobles and those. He saw somebody who was in that societal arrangement, was poor, was destitute, had nothing, but she needed Jesus. As we all need Jesus, but she at this time absolutely needed Jesus. And Jesus provided for her. And to me, I see this as an enormous challenge in speaking. I'm acutely aware of my own limitations when it comes to compassion. But for all of us, I think we need sometimes just to stop, to take stock of the circumstances, to take stock of what's happening in our lives and to ask ourselves the question, could I be demonstrating compassion? It's not about sort of saying, "Oh, wait." Jesus saw a need and he responded. I'm sure at different times you will have offered, as I have, you'll say to somebody, now I might say it to Ralph. Ralph just happened to look up at the wrong time. "Hey, if you need any help, Ralph, let me know and I'll help you." And of course, in a sense, that's one of those unwritten things. I've done the nice sort of socially acceptable, "Ralph, I want to help you" type thing. Ralph never gets around to asking me because he thinks, "Oh, Ken will be busy" or whatever the case is. And so nothing ever happens. So what should we be doing? "Ralph, I can come around and help you next week. I can come around." That's what we should be doing. How we should be demonstrating compassion is not some sort of vague, "At some particular point, I'll help you." It's about now. I can do something now. That's what Jesus did. He demonstrated compassion, didn't have to ask. And there was no, "Hey, can you do something?" Jesus had a response. And that should be the same for us. We need to have a response with compassion. Let's come across a couple of chapters to Luke 10. And again, another familiar section of Scripture. This time, of course, it's the Good Samaritan. I guess if you're speaking about compassion, you really do have to speak about the Good Samaritan, because society at large will often talk about people being Good Samaritans. But one of the things that society looks at when they speak about a Good Samaritan is a one-off deed. In other words, it's like a good deed that you do. That's how society generally would look at the Good Samaritan. Whereas the clear message that Jesus wants to convey here is not so much that this is just a once off, you'll do it, but compassion is an attitude of mind. Compassion becomes part of who we are. It's not good deeds, turn on, turn off. If I like you, I'll do a good deed. If I don't like you, I won't. Compassion is demonstrated to even people that we might regard as anathema. That's, I think, a clear lesson from the situation. I'm not going to drill down too much because I think we know the story of this particular individual. But let's just take verse 25 just to establish a context and the importance upon which this issue of compassion is absolutely elevated. You see, a scribe had actually come to Jesus and said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And I think, fair enough question. Fair enough question. And that's a question that all of us want to know. What shall I do? We all want to. We know we're saved by grace. But if I see a question like that, I'm sort of, my ears are up, because you want to know. We all want to know. We all want eternal life. And so what's Jesus' response? He sort of goes on. He says, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength and your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And of course, this starts to broaden the concept. Who's my neighbour? That's a tough one, isn't it? Who is my neighbour? You know, I think Jesus always takes the broadest possible definition. Jesus wasn't sort of talking about them just being Christadelphians. Jesus' attitude here, and sort of from what took place, it's quite clear that Jesus is casting the net pretty wide when he starts to speak about neighbours. Why? Why do we know that to be the case? Well, let's just pop down to verse 37, or verse 36 for the context. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among the robbers? And of course, the scribe says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus' response is, you go and do likewise. It's the one who showed mercy. All of us at different circumstances and times in our life are in a position to demonstrate mercy and compassion to others. And I think the clear message that Jesus is enunciating here, we need to do that. As opportunity presents to us, then we need to go and do likewise. We need to recognise the mercy and the compassion that has been demonstrated to us by the Father. We need to reciprocate that compassion. That's the clear message that I'd like to get from Luke 10. But that, of course, does beg the question. Why was Jesus so compassionate? Why did Jesus see compassion as being something that was just so important? Well, we can go back to Exodus 33 and 34. We won't do that. Where, of course, Moses actually said to God, I want to see your glory. And God's revelation was that he was merciful. There was kindness. And it's quite interesting that what we find is that those who have translated, they've struggled because some translations use the word mercy, some use the word compassion. And, of course, it's Paul over in Romans 15 who tells us quite clearly, because Paul uses the Greek word for compassion to say, hey, it's compassion. So again, we have like father, like son. The father wants to be known as a compassionate father. And he tells us that in words that we know well from Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and at verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. It's a wonderful verse. It's a favourite verse of mine. It's a challenging verse. And I'm looking around. My son's not here this morning, so you can't rush up to Kieran afterwards and say, did Dad show compassion to you? I'd like to hope that he'd say yes. As I say, I'd like to hope that he'd say yes. But you know what? God shows compassion to us, and that's what the psalmist actually reveals to us in Psalm 103. One more quote from the Old Testament, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Lamentations is a challenging book, and I find reading Jeremiah, I find that sort of, oh, it's just such a challenging book to read, because there's so much negativity, I think, with the book of Jeremiah, and you can be burdened down, you can be weighed down. Do you know what? There's just a little shining light, a little gem that presents itself in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. And again, you'll know the words. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's compassions don't fail. They're new every morning. So as we arose this morning, that's a testimony to the fact that God's compassions are there for us. As I say, I read Lamentations 3 and I take enormous comfort from those words, that when the sun comes up and when I rise and get up, There's the compassions of God that are being demonstrated and provided to me. It's wonderful when you think about it. And you know what? Here's just something else to think about. Each night there are thousands and thousands of people who don't wake up. They die in their sleep. So the very fact that you've arisen, you've woken this morning, think about that. That's God's mercies. That's God's compassions. They fail not. It's a wonderful little section, I think, Lamentations chapter 3. So this morning, what have we actually done? Well, this morning, we come to remember a compassionate Lord. We've been able to gain, I hopefully think, some insights into how our Lord reacted with regards to compassion. But here's something that I think's remarkable as well. Christ hasn't changed. That same Jesus that demonstrated compassion is alive and he's with us today. We don't have an absent Lord. Our Lord is with us today. Revelation in the letters to the seven ecclesias makes it abundantly clear. The Lord walks amongst the ecclesias. I'm with you, he said, until the end of the age. And you know what? That same Jesus is doing the same thing that he did 2,000 years ago. He touched people's lives then, and he touches our lives today. We've got to believe that. The writer to the Hebrews, I think in Hebrews chapter 4, brings to a confluence the thoughts, and again, well-known words. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathise with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy, compassion, and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you.